read the script. It was really totally organic, the way I am in the movie and the way I came back and all this stuff. And I'm delighted to work again with Cameron, to work with Linda Hamilton, and with all the new cast that we have here. They've created a great family here.
That was Arnold Schwarzenegger talking about the latest Terminator
film. He said he'd be back, and he was.
That's right, called Terminator Dark Fate.
This time a bunch of women tell me what to do.
That was Bill McCuddy.
Very intimidating.
With his bad imitation of Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm Neil Rosen.
No, that was my Linda Hamilton, actually.
Joined again by Bill Bregoli as
Trick
well.
Trick or treat!
All right, so Terminator Dark Fate. So this one brings back Linda Hamilton, and they ignore all the other Terminator sequels. This one, James Cameron, who directed and wrote the first two, produces this one, and he writes this one. And it's directed by the guy who did Deadpool. And they kind of ignore the other ones. This one picks up, like the other ones never happened.
Do you miss them?
No, the other ones
all right,
sucked.
Then.
But this was real good.
Wasn't Claire Danes in one of them? And it was like a career ender for her. I'll never forget the publicists were like, you'll never get to interview her again. The whole movie was in a cave, right? They were hiding in a cave. Yeah, anyway. See, so nobody remembers.
Why don't you guys tell us the Terminator plot?
I don't know. I was getting my teeth pulled when the movie, when the screening happened. I had oral surgery instead of seeing the Terminator.
I guess Linda Hamilton is sent back to protect. We think that
she's not sent from the. She's now 63 years old.
Right, but she's. Okay. Right. Yeah.
There's something called a. What's the term they use? There's somebody sent from the future. Who's human but has been augmented. So she
That's Mackenzie Davis.
Right, Mackenzie Davis. She has some sort of...
Or a Kardashian.
She has Terminator strong-like strength abilities.
Right, which Arnold, who we meet later in the film, also does.
Right.
He's kind of gotten human. That's how they explain it. Look, it doesn't matter. It's a great ride.
Well,
that's the point. There's no point in telling the plot because the plot is really
Terminator,
the exact same story that they've been doing for every Terminator movie.
There's a Hispanic woman... or a Latinx woman, as they call her now,
yes.
And it takes place in Mexico. And this evil Terminator is sent from the future to kill her because
we don't know why. So we don't know why.
But just like in the Terminator 2,
we think we know why, but then we don't.
Where they sent somebody from a Terminator to kill Linda Hamilton or Linda Hamilton's son. Right, she needs to get killed and.
Linda Hamilton, unfortunately, gets stuck with a lot of, not bad dialogue, but a lot of, like, I'll be backs and things that are, like, kind of cornball. But that said, she's amazing in the film. She looks great for 63 or 2 or however old she was when she made it. And, this is a real girl power, kind of a Lisa Rosman friendly version of the Terminator. And I still really, really enjoyed it.
I loved it. And I loved my favorite thing in the Terminator is when these Terminators melt down into liquid and they kind of all the liquid comes together and they become human beings or Terminator looking people.
But then they can kind of split.
Right. And then the CGI since the last Terminator, it's been 22 years or something like that. It's been perfected. So it looks even cooler now. What do you think of the movie, Bill?
I didn't see it. I told you I was waiting for my drugs to arrive.
Right. I would say it rivals T2 as the best in the series.
T2
it's
is
certainly,
still the best, but this is really a lot
this
of fun.
Is, first it's and women. A half. This isn't second. This is like so close to first. We have to give it to T2.
Women are kicking ass. It's Linda Hamilton, Mackenzie
Davis,
who is trying to stop the evil Terminator from killing Linda Hamilton.
As I said, they haven't changed the story much.
Sorry, they're not trying to kill Linda Hamilton. They're trying to kill the Latinx woman.
Okay.
And there's a lot of Latinx-themed stuff in this. The first.
Well, very much so in the beginning of Mexico City. They're working for. They're working on a car line.
Diego Luna is a Terminator.
That's
what it looked like in the trailer.
And there were subtitles the first 10-15 minutes because
right, and their jobs are being threatened by a Trump-like president.
Yeah,
probably.
There's a lot of cool local
tie-ins.
Little joke about the wall, where they're building the.
So
wall.
Bill, play our game. Would you
I
go
would
see it?
Yeah, I'm going to go see it.
I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Yeah,
I don't
no,
think
I'm
will it be
for,
in Neil Rosen's coveted top 10 list?
I would have gone with a bloody mouth. If
it
right.
won't be in my top 10 list.
I mean, I literally had surgery an hour before the movie.
But Arnold would want you to go and not worry and bite down and be a man.
But I needed my meds.
Oh, thank you, Neil. That was a much better Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, you were in the screening that I was in, and the audio wasn't working for the first
three minutes. We saw it in IMAX, by the way, which I also, like Neil doesn't believe this as much as I do. IMAX gives Granddad a headache, but I think any movie you can see blown up bigger is better.
I find it hard to focus on. I like to see the whole movie in IMAX, even though I'm sitting
you
in the back
turn
of the
your
theater.
Head.
I got to look all around.
You're a little baby man.
But this guy, if you remember the first 2-3 minutes, there was no audio, and some guy, everybody's yelling, audio, audio. And some guy, and this is a terrible Arnold Schwarzenegger imitation, but some guy yells at an Arnold voice, like, we don't have the audio. We have to put the audio on the
Take the credit. You did a good job with that screen.
They can't hear the movie. You know, something like that.
I had an almost yelling moment.
I like the movie a lot. Unless it's there's a horrible crop of films to choose from, I would not put it on my top 10 list. But it is a very good movie if you like action movies and T2.
What else is there?
Well, there's Harriet, which is
the Harriet Tubman story.
Which is the Harriet Tubman story.
That wasn't her name originally. She was given that name.
She chose that name when she got to freedom. So Harriet Tubman, played by Cynthia Erivo, it's basically her story. And it's not an innovative presentation.
It's a Lifetime movie. Just say it. Just call it what it is.
Okay. Yes, it's very Lifetime-y, but with great production values and phenomenal performances.
A phenomenal performance.
Well, I think Janelle Monáe, who plays the...
She's fine, but that's kind of a thankless role as the northern black woman who...
Leslie Odom Jr., who from Hamilton is in it. He does an okay job, but she's great. She makes it worth seeing.
The white guys are all really evil, as you would expect.
Well,
and
they
those
were. They were slave owners.
Yes, I understand that they're supposed to be evil, and this isn't a musical. But one of the things that is annoying to me is that these trips that this Harriet Tubman character makes get more and more dangerous, and yet we're only shown the first one and none of the rest, and so all the drama for me is pulled out of the...
You mentioned that on our TV show, which premieres this Friday.
Oh, please tell
us. On CUNY TV.
Where can we find it?
The new episode on CUNY TV.
We'll tweet it out.
Next Friday on PBS All Arts, where you made that same point with Lisa Rossman, Jack Rico, myself, and Bill McCuddy. And you made that same point, Bill McCuddy, on the show, and Lisa told you, which I agree. I mean, they showed you for the half an hour how she got to freedom. And then, I mean, what do you want to see? The same scene over and over again? You know where the safe...
I want to see danger in different ways. Give the audience what they expect in a way they don't expect it. I don't expect her to get down to the South, have 20 people go, we want to get our way to freedom. And the next scene is they're walking into a place in Philadelphia.
You've learned where all the safe houses is. She knows the escape route and where to go. Anyway, it was directed, and I believe also the screenplay was by Casey Lemons. I interviewed both of them. And she said that...
How'd that go?
They took some she took some license. I said there's a scene when she meets up with the slave owner after she's... You know, there's a whole mysterious element of this of like, there's this person. They don't know that it's Harriet Tubman, all the white slave owners, you know, who's kidnapping all these slaves and bringing them to freedom. And
Moses.
They think that it's
They think it's a guy.
They think it's a white person who's masquerading. You know, they don't know that it's a woman. And there's a big... I'm not going to give away what happens. There's a big... climax where the two of them, the slave owner and Harriet Tubman's former slave owner and Harriet Tubman meet, and she goes, no, I created that scene for the movie. So they take some license, but other than that, it's pretty much the story. If you don't know the story, I do recommend it. It's not as impactful and innovative filmmaking wise as...
Let's say this, it's clearly something you can wait for on a streaming service. You don't need to go to
I think if you're interested in the subject matter, I would recommend it. But it is not like as artistically...
It's no 12 Years a Slave.
Right, or Birth of a Nation.
It's no Birth of a Nation.
Right, exactly. But I think if you're interested in the subject matter, I would go see it. My wife loved it.
You know
it.
What else I'm interested in? What else is opening?
Okay. Jojo Rabbit's another movie that hits theaters, which is...
That's been in a few theaters because it broke a bunch of records already.
Okay, we were doing
Hanson
Film Festival stuff the last 2 weeks, so let's talk about that.
It's doing quite well. And, this is one of my favorite movies of the year. This is about a young boy who, in World War II, he's a wannabe Nazi. He's a 10-year-old kid, brilliantly played by... What's the kid's name? It doesn't matter. He's amazing. Neil will look it up as we're talking. His mom is Scarlett Johansson, and he's taught at a... at a camp. I'm laughing as I'm talking about this, and I'll get to the horrific part in a moment. Well, I'll tell you now, his best friend is Adolf Hitler, who's played by the guy who wrote and directed the film.
Well, he's an imaginary Hitler, and the director and writer of the screenplay is Taika Waititi, who directed Thor Ragnarok. It's a satire. in the vein of, you know, there's other Hitler satires like To Be or Not to Be, going all the way back to Jack Benny and then redone with Mel Brooks.
But it looks like a Wes Anderson film, so it has kind of a light look, and that I think helps make it more horrific. And so there's also a young Jewish girl that they're hiding in the house.
Right. The kid's name is Roman Griffin Davis.
Yeah, he's great. He's great.
You like Thomasin McKenzie, who plays the Thomasin McKenzie is the girl that's the Jewish girl that's hiding in the attic.
Correct.
Listen, and you like the what York?
So I recommend that. Go see it.
Sam Rockwell.
You know, Sam Rockwell
in
can't
it.
Make a bad movie, but he's Rebel not Wilson the reason to see this movie
so
at all.
So here's my take on this movie.
Okay, quickly.
So my take is basically this. I mean, the first half of the movie, I don't know where this is going. I mean, it's like satirical and it's making fun of, you know, glorifying and making fun of the same time these like Hitler youth groups and these kinder camps that the kids are going to. And this kid who's single mom, Scarlett Johansson, unbeknownst to the kid in the beginning, is hiding a Jew in the attic, as you said, is buying this hook, line, and sinker. I mean, he's just like all in on like, you know, kill the Jews and buying all of the, you know, Nazi ideology. And then he discovers that this girl is in the attic and he starts to kind of like develop feelings for her. And, you know, and it becomes the movie takes a turn and everything, all this pro-Nazi satirical stuff, which kind of offended me as a Jew on some level. But I'm saying,
you're
okay,
not alone. Some people are very, you know, offended by it.
But there's humor in it. All of a sudden I'm going, okay, this was all to make a point. When this thing takes a turn and he starts seeing how Nazi ideology, how fucked up it is. And it really works for me.
I think it's great. Is it in your top 10, your coveted top 10?
So far, I think it would be in my top 10.
Yeah, mine too.
You know,
but
the thing,
Bill, have we talked you into going?
Oh, yeah. I've already reserved a screening.
Oh, good.
My point on this is that I don't know what's going on until halfway through. Like,
what
is the point of this?
Sort of like this podcast. You have no idea what's going on. And then it kicks in for you.
Archie Yates is the kid that you like to play Yorkie, who you mentioned on our TV show, Talking Pictures with Neil Rosen.
Who's that playing again?
It's this Friday.
Hey, listen, kind of a sad thing happened this week.
Oh, here comes your imitation.
My buddy, I don't have to do it, but I've done it for, you know, people that lived in the house. One of the great producers of probably the 70s and 80s ran Paramount Motion Pictures, Robert Evans, a great documentary if you've never seen called The Kid Stays in the Picture. His name was Robert Evans, and he was one of the greats. He was married 7 times, Phyllis George, Ally McGraw, almost any good-looking chick in Hollywood he was married to or at least involved with. Nicholson was his pal. He called Nicholson Irish. He called me Little Irish. Do I think that he had other Irish friends he called Little Irish? Absolutely.
Do I think?
Does it bother me? No
way.
Was
he tan when you met him?
He was tan. I've been to the house, Woodland.
He ran Paramount Pictures.
He furnished the house from everything in Paramount, and it was magical knowing the guy. He was absolutely one of a kind. Whenever I was in Los Angeles,
he
said,
was one of a kind.
Bill, we need to break bread. And he was a big fan of the Palm in Hollywood. And, you know, one time, I'll just tell one quick story. I was in town. I called the house. They said, English, his butler said, he wants to see you. How long are you in town? I said, until Tuesday. So, of course, the weekend goes, no call from Bob. Monday goes, no call from Bob. Tuesday, I write it off. I go to bed. 5 minutes of midnight, Tuesday night, he calls. He doesn't say any. I pick up the phone. I'm groggy. I go, hello. He goes, he doesn't say hello or anything. He goes, it's still Tuesday. So he was like, and he begged me to come over to the house. We'll watch Jules and Jim. It reminds me of us. Like, he was like so seductive and charismatic. And I always regretted I didn't go over that night. But I had many great meals with him.
Character.
And
what's better, the book, The Kid Stays in the
Picture? The Kid Stays in the Picture.
Or the movie, The Kid Stays in the Picture.
He has The Fat Lady Sings is his second one. And the documentary was the first one called The Kid Stays in the Picture.
Do you like the documentary
which Graydon
better?
Carter produced.
Or do you...
The best thing is to get the audio books on tape and let them read. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Hollywood legend.
I might as well have put Steve McQueen's cock in my wife's mouth.
Whoa.
That was one of the highlights.
That's a quote.
So rent it for the kids.
All right. Bill Brigoli saw the sequel to Zombieland.
Yes,
Zombieland Double Tap.
Double Tap, which takes place 10 years.
Yeah, which I hear is kind of a disappointment after the first one.
Well, you know what? I had oral surgery. And I needed a movie.
Oral surgery reveals its ugly head in all these stories.
That's right. That's been the story of my life for the last week, which is why I haven't seen anything except that. But I had a really good time. And it is really just made for people who enjoy the first one, which was 10 years ago. And they know, and actually the very first thing you hear is Jesse Eisenberg saying, we know you have many choices in zombie entertainment. We appreciate
But one of the cool things about the first one was that Bill Murray was kind of a surprise in it.
Right.
And, like, he's not now. Is he just phoning it in here, or he's having a good time?
Well, I'll do a spoiler alert. He's in the end credit sequence with one of our colleagues, Grace Randolph.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That all of a sudden, he's at the very end credit sequence. She's there in her coat, and they're doing a movie junket.
Why aren't we that important?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was in top five, the Chris Rock.
Yes, we all remember that.
So, yeah. She
She's barely it, but she's in it for 2 seconds. Okay, I mean, maybe two clips. Chris and he's doing a junket for Garfield 3.
How's Woody Harrelson?
Woody Harrelson's fine. There is a new character. Really, the best reason to see it is Zoe Deutsch.
Oh, yeah.
Plays a woman who's been living in a Pinkberry freezer during the zombie apocalypse and has escaped.
That's what's-her-name's daughter, right?
That's
and she
Leah
looks
Thompson's
just like
daughter.
Her. She looks just like Leah Thompson.
Right, and she plays a dumb blonde role like nobody else. So this is a movie you can see now, and you won't have to deal with a lot
All
of crowds.
Right, so
it's worse. I think if you liked Zombieland, you like this.
Okay,
if you didn't,
is the first one better? Are they on
par?
No,
this isn't quite as good.
Not quite as good.
Will kids and adults like get both all
no,
the
no.
jokes?
Sometimes sequels exceed. Or
yeah, no. It's a definitely good attempt at a sequel. I mean, there have been much worse sequels than this.
Okay. Hey, before we go, Steven Soderbergh has pretty great new movie on Netflix that I want to recommend and give a shout out to. It's called The Laundromat with Meryl Streep and everybody else, tons and tons of famous people. It's a head full. It's about a bank in Panama that's screwing America and how everything is tied to shell corporations and paper money. And it's good. I recommend it.
All right. Let's talk about Motherless Brooklyn, which was written and directed by Edward Norton, who's kind of disappeared from the screen for a while. And he plays it's a film noir, and it's sort of like Chinatown.
But this is not Chinatown, by the way, Robert Evans produced Chinatown.
Right.
So thank you for bringing that up.
Or L.A. Confidential, except set in Brooklyn in the late 1950s. And Edward Norton's character, he's a private eye, but he has Tourette syndrome. And his best buddy, played by Bruce Willis, this is the first 10 minutes of the movie, is killed. And he wants to solve the murder. And it leads him on a long path.
Well, speaking of long paths, the movie is not short, correct? And I understand one of the knocks on it, 51% right now on Rotten Tomatoes, is that it's kind of a slog to get through. So did you enjoy it? Do you recommend it?
Well, the thing that I found the most interesting in the film is the fact that Alec Baldwin plays a thinly veiled version of
Robert Moses. Right.
And
tell people
the path,
since you've gone down this the arcane trail, tell people who Robert Moses
Robert
is.
Moses, Robert Caro wrote a Pulitzer Prize winning book about Robert Moses. He built Jones Beach. And
we've all read that.
All the bridges, and he destroyed the Bronx by building the Cross Bronx Expressway. And the first half of his career, he did a bunch of unbelievable public works projects for New York, and then he became power crazy and kind of destroyed a lot of neighborhoods. But Alec Baldwin plays
a character. And that's what the movie is all about? No, it's not, is it?
No. Well, Alec Baldwin plays a character named Moses Randolph. That's how thin, that's how similar the parallels are. But yeah, and I find that interesting. He talks about building the bridges low out to Jones Beach so buses couldn't get there. He was a racist guy, so minorities couldn't use the beach. And talks about how he destroyed the borough of the Bronx. And so that's kind of interesting. The movie's kind of all over the place. Atmospherically, it's terrific. I mean, it's just the smoky jazz clubs of Harlem. He strikes up I won't say like it's not a romantic relationship, but it's kind of like a friendship with Gugu Mbatha Raw.
But when you say he, you mean Ed Norton,
Right. Yeah, and, you know, it's confusing. It's okay. It's problematic.
Your explanation of it is confusing, so I can imagine the movie.
To use your own phrase that you said before, which I don't agree on, Harriet, this is something that if it's streaming, you might want to check it out. So that's what I would say on that one. And if you're looking for Bruce Willis, he's only in the movie for like 10 minutes.
So don't get there late.
All right, next week, even though it comes onto Netflix this week, but it's a very long conversation, we're going to talk about The Irishman. And
don't bother.
With Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, and Al Pacino, as well as what else is opening next week?
Well, there's a new – we can talk about it next week. There's a new show on the new Apple TV called The Morning Show.
I saw that. We'll talk about that, too.
I went to a huge party for the other night, so we can discuss that.
We'll talk about that as well. And I saw the new season of The Kominsky Project with Michael Douglas and Alan Arkin and Nancy Travis.
You loved that last
directed
season.
Directed by...
I'm sitting at the edge of the chair wondering if you liked this season as much, but I'll have to wait
right.
until
What's
next
the guy
week?
Who did The Big Bang Theory and...
Leary.
Chuck Lorre.
Chuck Lorre.
Right. So it's a Chuck Lorre show. So we'll talk about that next week, too. So if you want to reach me, please do reach me or any of us. I'm at Neil Rosenapples on Twitter. Bill McCuddy is...
At Bill McCuddy
on
Twitter.
And Bill Bregoli is on Instagram. Yes, he's right. joined the 21st Century, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey,
he's on it right now.
What do we do here every week, Bill?
We listen to you kvetch and moan and go down kvetch. Really dark...
No, you got to say kvetch.
Kvetch.
There's no kvetch.
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 Kvetch. No, it's kvetch. And what do we do?
And go on and on, sort of like we just did.
And what do we really do?
We watch the bad movies so you
that's
don't
have
true.
To. And that's it. So thanks for sitting around talking movies with us. We'll sit around talking movies again with you next week.